Everything hurts.
Everything hurts?
I'm in my 30s.
Oh, yeah.
My back hurts. I got a canker sore. My foot hurts. My leg hurts. I got nasty hemorrhoids. They're going all over the place.
Wow, that's...
Charlie horses in both my calves.
More details than I expected here.
Oh, God, my knees are backwards.
I have noticed that. You do have, like satyr knees.
My fingernails are falling out from the sockets and not regrowing, so I just have exposed finger gaps.
Jesus Christ.
Everything hurts.
I can't... I'm keeping my eyes, lifted at, a 90-degree plane to make sure I don't accidentally see your horrible, terrifying hands.
I went to the doctor, and he said it was just stress.
Yeah, no, I've gotten that from my doctor also.
Yeah. The labs all came back normal.
Nothing wrong with your blood?
No, and nothing wrong with my piss, even though it hurt.
Even though it hurt?
It hurt. It was like brighter yellow.
Brighter yellow?
Yeah, it was brighter. It was brighter in color and scent.
It was kind of like
Pine Sol.
Do you drink enough water?
They might drink enough Pine Sol. It might be the Pine Sol.
Oh, that could be the problem. I would cut that out of your diet immediately.
It's so delicious looking.
Look, I know everyone drank Pine Sol in the 70s, but there's been a lot of science since then.
That lady, she sells that product, man. She makes it look delicious.
What, the lady on QVC? Yeah.
The Pine Sol lady.
Oh, the Pine Sol lady.
You know, the one lady that's like what her job is. Could you imagine?
Yes, I've definitely seen a TV ad in the last 5 years.
This has been going on for like 20 years. Like 30 years. The Pine Sol lady?
I have a famous...
That's the power Pine Sol.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
when you do that, yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, like her. She has been selling it.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's so delicious.
What does it taste like?
Pine. Like gin.
Like gin?
Yeah.
Like gin.
Get a nice pine and tonic at the bar.
Is that what you're drinking when we come over sometimes? Is that what's in those cups?
Absolutely. Listen, I'm never going to clean my house if I can't have a little treat while I'm scrubbing down the wood.
Okay, well, I'm concerned your doctor didn't tell you to stop that, but...
Maybe I should have gone to a hospital instead of a bakery for my medical needs.
I mean, the bakery attached to the hospital does have very good croissants.
He had a doctorate.
He had a doctorate?
It was in music theory.
Well, you know, he's qualified to give opinions on something. Why not human bodies?
I don't even know. He thought Drake won the diss war, so maybe...
No,
maybe
I would.
We should take his doctorate away.
I mean, I would not actually listen to anything this guy says.
Ah, Christ. Well, let's start the episode.
Happy 4th of July.
Oh, Christ. We snack on tasty critters and keep an eye out for the Grumpinati as we search for a missing entomologist in Bug Snacks. Yum, yum.
Buzz, a storm of buzz, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Storm Buds. I'm your 10-year-old that walks like a bitch of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my U.S. Supreme Court Justice of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
I just think that we should have kings again.
Oh, this is Storm Buds, the video game variety show where, you know, it's Final Fantasy XIV themed. All the segments, most of the time, Final Fantasy XIV jokes.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Or they're just related to it. And we are going to talk about two games today. Talk about variety. That's two.
Two for the price of one? Wow, golly gee.
For the price of one. And one costs $0. That's right. We're talking today.
Or should we say zero pell in the ones column?
Zero. Oh, my God. Okay, whew, that hit me. All right, so we're talking about two games today. We're talking about Bug Snacks, and we're talking about Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail, about the first chapter of it.
Yeah, I finished the first chapter 5 minutes before I came over.
We're just talking about it. We're not recapping it. I don't have the quests. I don't have anything. I have things written down, but not like what happens.
We're not going to do a recap. I do have a page of notes.
We have thoughts. All right. Bug Snacks is an adventure video game developed by Chicago-based independent developer Young Horses, known for Octodad as well. Kind of a follow-up to that game, which was pretty fun. This game, it's a puzzle adventure exploring game with a story that is kind of more, that kind of takes a front seat to the puzzling here.
I would say so.
The story is that you are a journalist, you tend to fall for shitty stories that nobody likes, and you have happened upon, you've been sent this recording of an entomologist, explorer, I guess, discoverer, Lisbert, who has discovered an island of bugs that are snacks that you can eat. And
kind of bug and kind of snack.
Yeah. The reason we're playing this game is, by the way, we're playing a bunch of summer vacation games for the theme of Dawn Trail, you know? So this is like, oh, we go to an island and you have a good time, wink, wink. Because the conceit of this game and the marketing around it is that there's a greater mystery happening on this island, and its cutesy facade is really just sort of there as a layer of irony for the true nature of the island of bug snacks,
which is actually kind of a misdirect. It's mostly the cutesy kind of like sentimental thing. The big mystery isn't even that big of a mystery.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think so. This is on. You can get this. I think it was on Game Pass for a while. It's pretty. It's relatively cheap.
I got it on sale for like $7.
I think it is in the Steam Summer Sale as well. So if you want to check it out for yourself, you should probably do that. What did you think about Bug Snacks?
I quite enjoyed it, more than I thought. I actually found the marketing for this game a little bit grating. It looked like it was going to be a little bit too twee for me. And then I found that actually sort of like the level of sentimentality that it actually dials into, with these characters sort of just being these relatively nice but kind of like broad caricatures who do kind of have little sweet emotional relationships, I was like, okay, sure, I'll spend some time with these guys. It is pleasant to spend some time with Bugstacks, and it's like 7 hours long.
If you are short on time and you like kind of games that are pretty lightly stimulating, puzzle contained, interesting environment, contained stories like this, Bugsnax might be up your alley. I fucking hated it.
You fucking hated it. Wow.
I'm so disappointed.
Oh no.
Oh god. I've wanted to play this game for so long.
Man, you wanted us to disagree. I guess we're going to disagree.
Oh, I did. We always disagree. Here's what I don't like about this game. It's what's frustrating about it is that the game, the puzzles and that you're solving are not fun. First of all, they're not. You get a sauce to lure a slingshot, and you can lure bugs to some places and then into your trap. And then sometimes you get a new sauce, and then sometimes you get a new toy, like the ball that you, the thing. And you're ultimately just every single zone, you're catching bugs, you give them to people, and then it's a pain in the ass. It's just a constant pain in the ass. Secondly, it's not twee enough. Like, there are these characters that are just, like, sassy and, like, snark. There's just that thin snark all the time. And it goes pretty quickly into these sort of thin arguments. This whole town, there's this town bug. What's it called? Snacksburg?
Snacksburg,
yeah,
yes.
Where everyone has sort of fallen from the centralized story, because like the whole mystery is that like Lisbert, the charismatic leader, has gone missing, and the deputy mayor, who sucks shit, has not kept everyone around, and for some reason everyone just thought, man, why don't I go live in the wilderness? I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty thin. Also, these characters are called grumps. They're like Muppets, basically.
They're basically Muppets, and it's like just. It does not do what something like Avenue Q does, where it fails to It only kind of lightly goes there very quickly. Where, and by there, I mean, it pulls punches in a way because things just diffuse without actually going anywhere. There are these characters. There's a character who misses his wife. His wife is somewhere on the island. They got into a big fight, and then other characters try to bring that up. Like, well, what's her? Tiffany?
Tiffany,
something. They're like, these names are annoying. She'd be here. If you knew what love was, she'd still be here. Whatever. And he's like, oh, whatever. And then it's just like, diffuses and nothing actually happens. I want these grumps to fucking gut each other. I want this to be
missing.
Don't like this.
You're
nothing
the real
happens.
Conflict.
Like really, nothing. Yeah, doesn't go. It's not cute enough either. It's like, oh, you, like there's these cute little snacks. Imagine if it was just some really, really innocent Blue's Clues level things, and then they just have these. They're the reality of this horrible situation that they're in. They're all trying to escape this island because their real lives are all shitty. Like, you discover what's going on with these characters, and they are actually shitty people. But imagine if it wasn't obvious that they were shitty people from the start. So it doesn't snap enough from cute to violent or anything scary in any extreme that makes it interesting enough or compelling. And that combined with just the snooze frustration gameplay. I could not handle this game. Could not handle it.
I think those are both really fair criticisms. I think for me, I was able to look past those for a couple of reasons. The first of which was that I found the sheer... You called this game odd. And I think that odd is actually a better descriptor than weird. This game is so odd.
It is odd. Yes, you're right.
And the competence with which that oddness is pulled off did have me kind of fascinated all the way through, not to see where the story went, but more to just kind of be like, what is this thing that you've made? This is so strange to behold.
Who is it for, too?
That's a good question. I don't know who this game is for.
It's certainly not for fans of the horror genre, because it doesn't get there. I mean, I didn't finish it myself, but I had like, well, like, does this actually go where I want it to? Not kind of, yes and no. I don't want to spoil it, but really. Yeah, like this game could have done more, and I'm just gonna keep saying it could have done more, because it could have. I feel like if you've played this game, there are certain conspiracies that it alludes to and certain tragedies that it kind of avoids. It kind of skirts around. Oh, it should have just, you know, everything should have just fucking gone tits up for this whole island, and we should have been like, holy shit.
You are kind of right in that it introduces what seems like a very kind of cutesy sort of like set of characters, and then it goes one level introducing a level of sort of like genuine like emotional engagement with them, and they have actual fights and stuff, but then those themselves, you're right, don't fully like, you know, get carried forward into the actual real kind of conflicts that they might explore.
So everyone
kind of just is mad at each other, and then everyone's like, I guess I was kind of a goof for being mad at you.
Yeah, it doesn't go to the don't hug me, I'm scared level of of Muppet gore that I really, really wanted. Maybe this game just doesn't match my freak, and that's fine for me. But yeah, I kept being disappointed, and then kept getting little hints of story, and then having it be constantly gate kept by a puzzle mechanic that I just was not into. I really, really, really did not want to go get like. Oh, I think the tipping point was when. There was this guy who wanted to walk across a desert, and then he wanted to get popsicle legs from like another zone. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing that. I'm just not doing that. I give up. Like, there was two. Of course, that was going to happen, but like, I don't know. So I have, unreasonably strong feelings about Bugsnax in the negative direction, where I think everyone else is like, yeah, that's kind of cute. So I'm probably out in the cold here. I think I'm so passionate because I had set too high of an expectation for this game, because I had the vision that this was going to be, that it was going to really, really subvert my expectations in a way. That's like, I don't know.
I got two things. One, I do finally see why people said this for Pride Month. There is both a couple that's two women and a couple that's two men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's very funny. It's like funny because it just is very front and center. Lisbert is in this video just trying to explain what's going on, and then her girlfriend Agabelle just walks up and starts Frenching her. I was like, oh, this is funny. And the writing in this game is pretty witty. I particularly liked a scene where, what's his name, the strong guy tries to like lift up the introvert's house to get him to come out. He also all these things. But that's another example of like, that house should have just come the fuck up, and everything should have been ruined for that nerd. Like, it just doesn't go there. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. Okay, but I do want to, on top of that, though, there's one thing I really want to praise about this, because I think it's unusually good. I think the voice acting in this game is very good.
Oh, it's excellent. And the Australian accents, loved it. Perfect touch.
Well, and in particular, it's a type of voice acting that's really hard to do. It is all really exaggerated caricature voices. It is all like, I am a drama queen who's out on the stage, and I'm a strong boy who likes to go to the gym and pump iron, and like, we do those voices for bits on those podcasts. Yeah. You're better at it than me, but even still, like, that is difficult to do and have it come off as sort of like charming and not corny or even a little bit embarrassing.
Well, I think it does come off as corny or embarrassing, but it's on purpose.
Sure.
It's very on purpose because it's supposed to be an ironic facade for some greater eldritch horror thing that is happening on this island, some unexplainable terror that is the Bugsnax. It tells you pretty quickly that once you eat the Bugsnax, you become, like, part of your limbs become bugs. And it's just weird. They're all totally okay with it. Why not? I mean, I don't have a problem with them being okay with that.
Part
just
of the oddness.
This is fine.
I will say, I beat this game. The actual sort of, like, wrap-up of all that stuff takes, like, half an hour at the end. It's not even, like, a third act. It's, like, a seventh act.
Yeah. What? It's seventh of an act?
It's like a very short kind of, like, almost, like, ultimate
it's
chapter.
It's, like, act one, act two, and then epilogue?
Yeah, sure, basically.
That makes sense. So, it is certainly a completed game. It feels like this is kind of an oddball puzzle game that appeals to, I don't know, cozy gamers kind of, but maybe pushes their boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, again, who is this game for? Although I will say, thing I liked about this game, very refreshing to play a game with no stamina meter and no health bar.
Sure. That's fine too, but also just the general platforming was very floaty and base level.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point of the game, but it could have been cool if there was like a little bit, if you had a little like ledge grab with your fuzzy grippers. That would have been fun. Why not make it a little bit easier? Yeah, it's not cute enough for a super cozy game fan, not scary enough for a freak like me who loves shit like Signalis constant. Oh, I'm still thinking about that game. but if somehow I've sold you on Bugsnax, go check it out. I don't know. If you like this shit, tell me about it. Wow, that's not inviting. It's not inviting at all. If you like this shit, piece of shit trash.
I liked this game. Your positivity will be welcomed by me.
It's actually, I think most people did like this game. I'm looking at critical reception. It was like pretty well like... 7 or 8 across the board.
I don't know. I remember reading a lot of those reviews, and I recall a lot of people being slightly baffled by it. My recollection of the reception was a lot of people going like, "Yeah, that was fun." I didn't really know what to make of it.
What was your favorite bug snack?
My favorite bug snack?
Yeah.
Ooh. I really like the Subway sandwich centipede.
That's a good one. I like the ribipede.
Ribipede.
The rib. The we both like the peds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
No, don't.
That's like Smiling Frames when Pim's like, I like kids! I think that's a pretty...
That's an okay overview of Bugsnax. Yeah.
I think I want to have a little bit more time to talk about Dawn Trail.
Yeah, I said the stuff I cared about with Bugsnax.
Me too. Damn it. God, I wanted to love this game. I'm sad and mad. Sad and mad that I didn't. Really internalizing it. Okay, well, I am going to go. I gotta tie 6,000 pairs of shoes.
6,000 pairs of
6,000
shoes?
6,000 pairs of shoes.
For who?
For the Queen of Denmark.
For the Queen.
She's getting ready to run the Boston Marathon.
Of course, and she wears Converse.
And she wears Converse for that marathon, and they fall apart about every 20 feet. So
yeah, Converse
gotta,
aren't good running shoes.
Yeah, but they have to be pre-tied because she can't get her nails messed up. So I have to do that for her.
Okay, you go do
so
that.
So I'll do that. We'll have it. We'll have our ad break, and then we'll be back with talk about Final Fantasy 14 Dawn Trail expansion. Let's go!
We're gonna read some ads. Well,
Jerome, if you're like most young men between the ages of 18 and 35 over the last 5 years, I know that you, like me, are a huge day trader, right?
Oh, man. I trade Pokemon cards like nobody's business.
Right. Yeah. Like monitoring, like, you know, the speculative markets and shorting things and like buying individual stocks. And
yeah. And like beating up kids and taking up their Mewtwo's.
Yeah, that's definitely
that's
part of
what I do.
What I'm describing as
that's
well.
Part like the if you think about the return on investment there, my investment is I punch some kids, and then I get all their Pokemon cards.
That's but you could get punched by a kid and he could take all your Pokemon cards as well, right? It's a real sort of like that's like the fun
no,
of
that's
it
probably
is,
not going to happen. Like that like, doesn't that's not no like that. This is a different power dynamic here where like I'm way big. I'm like a 6-foot man. And in at 35, actually, you really got the top edge of the age range there.
Okay, so in this analogy, actually, you're the institutional investor, not the retail investor, who usually gets taken for a wash.
Oh, okay. So I get taken for a wash.
No, you are the institutional investor. You get to beat up on everyone else and take their money.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know, if you love the exciting thrills of day trading, then you need to get in on Nottingham, the new app for trading treasury bills.
Okay.
Yeah, it's super exciting. Like, you know, it's all the adrenaline-filled fuel that you like from your other trading apps, but with a whole new array of financial products.
But I like from the beating up the kids.
Exactly.
That does give me the adrenaline.
You can buy T-bills at 4.15% or 4.2% or 4.05%.
Wow.
It's like a whole array of product offerings. And maybe you want to get on like an S-bill that will double in value in 20 years. Like, whoa. Hey, like, stop me. I'm too sexy.
Says the S in S
says
bill
the S bill. The S bill stands for sexy.
Stands
yeah,
for sexy.
They're so sexy.
Wow. Okay. So, like, how if I, what makes them sexy? Is it the boobs?
It is the low risk guaranteed long term returns.
Okay. The boobs are just there.
They're
just like additional.
When you get the certificate in the mail, if you request one, it does have a picture of boobs on it because it is from like 85 years ago and they haven't updated it, and it, you know,
yeah,
it's got like nymphs in the corner.
Oh, so tasteful art boobs.
Exactly. Yes.
Tasteful. Okay, interesting. And they thus named it S-Bill.
Yeah.
But not because of the boobs.
Right. Exactly.
I'm just trying to keep up.
Yeah. And if you sign up for Nottingham now, you will get a 0.025% increase on your average returns for the first $20,000 that you invest, if you invest it all at once.
Okay. So say I were to invest $137,895 and then like wait on that interest period for about 3 months. Like what would you say my payout would be on that exact amount if you had to like tell me exactly how to do that math right now on this spot.
On that amount, you'd actually be withdrawing before the threshold was hit, actually causing you to incur a significant tax liability. So I would not do that.
Okay. All right. So what's the threshold again on that?
It's 3 years or else you forfeit all the interest you've accrued over the previous 3 months.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm withdrawing. I'm just saying what would the interest, like if I were to,
if I were
just looking, what would accrue?
Oh, 137. Like $4.85.
Holy shit.
It's like a free coffee right there. It's like a free coffee.
That's like a Starbucks.
It's like four free coffees a year.
That's like two-thirds of a month of Dropout.
I mean, look, is it no wonder that everyone is falling over themselves to invest in these financial products?
That or maybe their shoes aren't tied.
Or maybe their shoes aren't... I'm sorry, this is a different ad read now?
No, it's just, you know, there's a couple different explanations why people might be falling over.
No, that's a fair point. Yeah, maybe their Converse... are falling apart at the marathon.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, guys.
Anyway, if you go to Nottingham right now, you can get in on the high-stakes world of treasury bill trading.
Oh, my gosh.
Promo code STORMBUDS to get that additional 0.025% on your first $20,000.
And that's STORMBUDS with a dollar sign.
With a dollar sign.
After the B.
Yes. And you do have to enter it using one of those weird on-screen keyboards because the website is from like 50 years ago, and so they don't like let you type.
They don't let you type. You have to swipe.
You have to swipe.
Swipe with a Y.
Swipe.
Swipe.
I don't know what that means.
Well, the Y stands for Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil, yes.
Yeah, it's the Norse mythological world tree, right? So, and then it's like when you're swiping, it's like you're branching out your words, and that communicates what's happening. And that's why, and then of course the S bills are made from the Yggdrasil.
Yes.
Chop it up, and then it gets printed into the sexy bill.
That's why they double every 20 years.
So they've got the exclusive partnership with Swipe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. You nailed it. You predicted everything I was going to say.
I didn't. I mean, I just knew.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows about Swipe.
Everyone knows about Yggdrasil.
Everyone knows that. That's like a rule. Everyone knows about Yggdrasil.
Yeah. If you don't, something might be wrong with you.
Okay.
So, Nottingham, hot T-bill investing app.
Cool. Unbeknownst to me, the Queen of Denmark did abdicate on the 12th.
She stepped down?
On the 12th of January this year.
Oh, so you missed by a few months.
Well, I got the order a while ago, and then they don't keep me. I'm just the shoe tire.
I'm sure
so
after
I did end up having, I tied 6,000 pairs of women's shoes, and then a dude showed up, because now there's a king of Denmark. So I no longer have that position.
Is he still in the race, though?
Let me check here. Let me check. It's just the monarchy of Denmark, Boston. Looks like yes.
Okay. Well, should we go like donate those shoes to someone?
They were burnt.
They were burnt. Wow, it's terribly wasteful.
No, because they were made of, well, they were Converse, as you know, right?
Sure.
So nobody wants them. Oh, right,
sure. Converse are made of paper mache.
Yeah, paper mache. So you can't, like, they're already recycled and not useful to anyone ever, basically. So, I mean, what would we be, we would be donating them, what, gout? Gout's from bad shoes, right?
Or Legionnaire's disease? I'm not sure. Anyway, you played Dawn Trail, right?
Yeah, we did play Dawn Trail.
Okay, okay.
I guess the timestamp starts here.
Okay, here we go. On three, we're going to count down. Three, two, one. We're going to say, do we think Dawn Trail is good or Dawn Trail is bad?
What if we have a more nuanced take?
No. Three, two, one.
No, hold on. No. How far? So, okay. Here's where I'm at with Dawn Trail. We're not doing that because I'm done with this game.
Oh, you're done with this?
We're going to talk about the first part.
Okay, but you played all of it.
Yes. Okay. We could talk about the first chapter.
Okay, you played the full MSQ. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I will say this. I have played the first MSQ, chapter of the MSQ. I played up through the first dungeon and the quest and like the wrap up after that.
Yeah.
I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah.
Should I just get into it?
There are parts... I like that silence. There are, for the first, I think the first part of Dawn Trail for me was quite a struggle.
Really?
I think we're disagreeing this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. I think you went into what you liked about the Bugsnax first, so I'll get my nasty energy out, and then maybe it'll purge myself, and I'll start being a smiley, happy person again.
Okay.
The first thing I did, so Dawn Trail, obviously, I'm hoping you guys have at least played through the first chapter of it. And the chapter is just, like, denoted by the achievements that you get that have the little book on them. So if you got the first one of those, you'll know you're caught up. But basically, it's, like, the first two half zones that they do, and then the second half of both of those zones, which was very nice. Like, clever... Dungeon-wise. So my journey in Dawn Trail thus far, I picked up Viper, leveled it. It's brain dead job, which is great. Honestly, I'm not here to play optimize the 2-minute rotation.
Sure.
The game. I have had issues with Endwalker and its 2-minute rotation for the entirety of that expansion, and they didn't change it. So I don't need to harp on that. I will say that Viper as an addition is very fun for me then, like just because you hit the glowy button and then it does the damage that you need it to do. There's not really a whole lot of buffs. I mean, there's buffs that you're managing because you're hitting they automatically give you things. And there's like 1 2-minute cooldown that just gives you a couple of procs.
What is the Viper mechanic? Like, what's your little bar that you're filling?
Viper is like a mix between, it's like a mix between Dancer and Gunbreaker and Reaper all in one, kind of. So you have like your big swathing AoE spells. You have your melee DPS and you're building up gauge, and then you're spending 50 of that gauge to go into a different little phase like a Reaper might. But you also have little extra buttons that you can press like a Gunbreaker will. How much Gunbreaker have you played?
None.
Okay, well, Gunbreaker has this mechanic where if you press... There's this like trigger phase or wherever where you are able to like some buttons that are otherwise by default inactive become active that are off globals once you hit a certain weapon skill. So it'll be like, okay, I press my 1-2-3 combo, and then after I press 3, I could press like the, or it's not even 1-2-3, it's just all on the same, they put it all on the same button like in PvP. So then you could press an additional, like, it's called, like, I think a death rattle or something, where you do an extra 250 potency damage on an off global after you do your 1-2-3 combo. And then as Viper levels up, more and more abilities get those extra buttons to press. So it's just press the glowy button and then constantly doing that. So it kind of feels like, and it also feels like Dancer in the way that it has a very fluid rotation where you're just kind of weaving between like two paths of like four different end
and stuff,
skills.
And like accumulates,
yeah.
And then
Yeah. So it's fun. It's breezy. It's easy. I'm really glad I chose that class, because it was getting me through the first chapter of this game, which was for me the equivalent of maybe like a Saturday New York Times where all of the clues were proper nouns. It's just like I can't do this. This part of this game is not for me. And
it might have been for me.
It was definitely for you. I was like, oh, Alex is going to love this, because you, when we were talking about A Realm Reborn, you were like, man, all this Garlean diplomacy stuff, that's interesting. Fuck these giant monsters that I have to... the primal shit's dumb. And I'm just like, God, what?
Yeah,
there's absolutely none of that this time around.
No, there's not. What there is a very fragile coalition nation that has only recently been established, which I did not grasp. Mm-hmm. I did not know going in.
That's like kind of interesting.
I thought the Dawn Servant was like some like title from time immemorial passed down through thousands of years. No, the Dawn Servant is one generation in. Like
that's him.
This is like a brand new political institution that is trying to figure out if it can handle a transfer of power.
And it being a new nation does add, I think, a layer of stakes
yes.
that are interesting.
This could fall apart.
This could fall apart, right? But also, I kind of wanted it to. And the first chapter, where it's obviously not going to fall apart in the first chapter, unless it did, and that would have been fucking sick.
I'm very curious.
No, you go ahead.
I assume they're not going to just play this totally straight. Like I guess. Okay, actually, here's a comparison I'm going to make. Actually, you know what I kept thinking of while I was playing this segment of the game?
Yeah,
I kept thinking of the manga / anime series Hunter x Hunter. By Yoshihiro Togashi.
Yeah.
Because one of his favorite narrative tricks to do in that series is to introduce a whole bunch of new weirdos and then they kind of like point them in the same direction at a goal and let them loose like spinning tops and watch them crash into each other. And a lot of this feels like that in terms of like we're getting a whole bunch of weirdos here and they're all pointed at the same goal of being the Dawn Servant.
Yeah.
And I want to see how they kind of like... how they end up sort of coming into conflict and like spinning off and causing like all kinds of things to fall apart or break.
That's a good way to put it, because we are like there's four constituents, claimants to this throne. There's Wuklamat, our champion, her brothers, Zeral Jah, a Mamul Jah, and Kona, a Mikote. So she and the Mikote Kona are adopted by this two-headed Galul Jaja guy. And then there's a Bakul Jaja, who is another what they call the blessed siblings or two-headed Mamul Jah.
I love the two-headed lizard thing. It's so cool.
It's so creepy and weird. I think it's very interesting. But it's I was going into Dawn Trail with a couple of not great mindset things. One, not a big fan of the new world in general. Not a big fan of the Blue Mage content that came from it. Not a big fan of like the way the people of the, what are they called? The Wakali tribe are presented.
The traders or
no, they're the actually, people. They're not, they're human people wearing, what look to be inspired by, in North American indigenous ceremonial garb on the regs. They're just wearing that regularly. And it's
that's the thing. That's, there's a lot of like... a lot of the iconography that I'm not sure how to unpack.
We are two white folks, and I will say that the casting, particularly for Wuklamat, is, I think, pretty good. And I think I Wuklamat as a character, I enjoy, but I also really enjoy being mean to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's way too earnest and nice, and I'm just going to be like, oh, boundaries. Like...
she's kind of an immature child. She's mm-hmm. kind of like, and that's the cutscene we get at the very end of this chapter is her reckoning with that a little bit and being like, actually, like, I was kind of arrogant to assume that I was sort of fit for this contest. I don't really know a whole lot.
That was really nice. And so here's mindset wise, like, I wanted to get away from comparing this expansion to Shadowbringers and Endwalker because it's not. That
it's
very much set up that this is not going to be about us. This is someone else's hero's journey, and we're along for the ride. I'm fine with that. A lot of people in user reviews are not fine with that. They want more. They want more Ezim. They want more of the same stuff. And I'm glad they're going away from it. This is, however, I think an expansion that for me is the start of it. The start of it is just going to be doomed to be boring. There's two reasons for that. One is that Endwalker had patch quests that were a filler arc on their own that had to be resolved.
Sure.
This expansion did not have, no, not even that. This expansion just didn't have the two expansions of table setting that something like, or the two patches of table setting that Endwalker and Shadowbringers had. Like, imagine going into Shadowbringers, like, not knowing who I mean, like Shadowbringers had Emmett Selk leading up to it, and then Xenos, actually, was Xenos back?
Right.
Yeah, kind of. Like, there was this whole, like, and the call of all of that, like, Shadowbringers had all this, like, hype machine going around it, whereas Dawn Trail is just kind of, like, starting fresh, and, like, you have to, it's a Final Fantasy game made by Creative Studio 3. There's going to be a lot of table setting. Not particularly enjoyable for me, but, like, thankfully, I had a new class to push me through it, and then I figured, like, listen, the way these guys write this game, like, they're going to go back over why all of this is important later when it's actually mattering, so I wasn't worried too much about it.
I mean, the comparison I kept making while I was playing it also was to Stormblood, and
yes.
I think that for doing a lot of similar kind of table setting stuff, I found this a bit more effective.
I will be comparing the shit out of this to Stormblood.
Okay, 100%. Interesting, even as it goes further.
I think, but it's just like Wuklamott and Lys are such such apparent parallels. And it felt very much from the get-go that they're kind of trying this again. Mm-hmm. and immediately in chapter one, we see a lot more character development and growth in Wuklamott than we not ever did from Lys, but then we certainly did from Lys. Because in Stormblood, we did have more inciting incidents with the Xenos taking out Rolgar's Reach and, like, us having to go on the boat across. But, like, Wuklamott has a lot of learning to do, and this first chapter sets the table very nicely. That being said, the quality of the quests and the content that we're doing is akin to the fucking Shadowbringers trolley quests.
You
for
think
me.
So? Wow, I thought it was better.
I was so like, oh great, we have to fix their float for them. Cool.
It is
okay. We have to do the the trading mini game. Oh, I want to die.
It is.
Oh my god!
It is very weird and kind of stupid that, like, these people have no apparent idea that their float causes the magic ritual that makes all their crops grow. Like, you never noticed the blue fertilizer before.
So obvious. Oh my god!
Okay.
And when it zoomed, first off, I was like, oh my god, no, it's the Vanu Vanu again. Mm-hmm. Oh god, no! And then it zoomed in on one of them smiling. Oh! God, get it away! Get it away! Put a basket on it and put it in the closet. Oh, that thing was horrifying. That's horrifying. Absolutely not. There's a couple of standout characters though. We're gonna sing Wuklamott's praises this whole way through probably. Like,
I like all the contestants.
I am obsessed with Kona.
Kona's cool.
Obviously, I predicted he was going to win in our predictions, but I'm so glad I did because he's so fucking cool. He's really standoffish. He's so awkward and so serious the whole time, and I love that about him.
He also represents a genuinely alternate vision for what leadership might mean, which is sort of like, again, the thing I'm interested in is, like, these four contestants, for them to work for me, have to actually have different visions for what they would do with the position of Dawn Servant, and he does. He wants to be the modernity guy. He wants to bring in new technology and new stuff from overseas.
Another standout character for me is Wook Evu as a comic relief kind of guy. He's the
float repair guy.
Yeah, he's the etherologist or whatever, the guy that like is able to. He tells us where to get the gemstones and stuff. Yeah, to help repair the float. Where he makes self-perceived egregious formality errors, and then Wuklamott says, "Stop it!" And he's like, "All right." Every
time. I guess the princess told me to stop,
sure,
so I'll stop.
Right, got it. That gets me every time. I really appreciate that. Zeralja. I had pretty negative feelings about Zeralja, not as just like a motivational starting point. I was like, I'm not sure what I'm getting here. I recognize that he represents sort of a birthright throne getter, right? He kind of has this, but as he mentioned, there's only been one Dawn Servant. Why should, like, why, what, Why should this go to just his children?
I'm trying to figure
out... To begin with. That's my big thing.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what his... Well, and, like, and that's the whole point of having the contest. Is to have the two
There's one non-his child contest, mm-hmm. but it happens to also be a blessed sibling. Like, all right.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what is this thing with Zeral Jaw's relationship to war? Because on the one hand, he seems kind of like he really believes in that meme that's like, strong times make strong men make good times make weak men make bad times, or whatever. Like that kind of thing. But, like, but also he seems anti-war, which is why he wants to go to war, to show everyone how shitty it is. Like, I'm curious what his deal is.
Yeah, that's that. There's a bit of a contradiction there.
Yes.
And Bakul Ja is just in it for the memes, I guess.
I just enjoy watching his two heads talk.
Yeah.
I just enjoy anytime the second head is like, yes, brother, we must go after them.
The first, the red head, the Hubigo side, the red scaled side, that horn's nothing but a dick.
Uh-huh.
That
no,
is
he's
just,
the worst.
That's no. The horn.
Oh, the horn is a dick.
That's
Oh, like Cooley Cooley style.
That's
okay.
That's just a cock, right? Like there's nothing. I don't know how that got through, but it did. And of course, Gulul Jaja as well is a standout character for me.
The king.
Yeah, he's really
Don
interesting.
Servant.
Don Servant. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested to know where his journey goes.
It's so funny. Like we show up with just our characters with us, like Alphino, Alice, and Kryl, right? Mm-hmm. And then we just walk in the throne room and he's just sparring with Astinian.
Yeah.
And then later on, fucking Kuana just shows up, and Thancred and Urianje just have been on his team this whole time.
Yeah.
This also feels very Hunter Hunter, is just sort of the establishment of like all these different teams, of which include our main cast, and they're kind of again being set off, and so that they're going to have to like split off for a while before they eventually end up rejoining.
I was like, take me with you. Let me help Kuana. So that's very exciting. We do have our predictions.
I'm feeling bad about mine. I don't think I got very many.
As soon as this first chapter was over, I was like, don't think Wuklamot's gonna die. thinking she's gonna be Elise kind of character.
Although it would not surprise me if she does not become the Dawn Servant.
Oh,
I could see Kuana getting it.
Oh my god. Well, he's very smart.
He's very smart. And like, and like, again,
oh my god, when he pours his fucking potion into the lake, I was like,
it's
why
so
couldn't
good.
We do that?
No, it's so funny.
Why did we have to repair the trolley? Well,
like, again, it's like this, like, Wuklamot is sort of like, she represents like this very sort of like generically respectful kind of like, her vision of leadership is one that is kind of just generally like, we love everyone and everyone lives in harmony. We love our rituals.
The big thing they're hammering in is that we need to understand people in order to lead them. We need to understand what makes them tick and what they want, why they want it. And so that we could give it to them, or maybe work towards a goal that's a better future. Like, she has this diplomacy and love for peace and negotiation down.
And Kuana is like, yeah, whatever. I did some science shit. I made some super fertilizer.
Yeah, like, I recognize this station has problems and we can fix them with science. Look at this. Wow, that took 2 seconds.
And they both worked. Like they both actually ultimately did accomplish the problem of solving the food scarcity issue.
What the hell did he do for the first one?
I don't know what Zeral did. He and
no, he didn't
the other
show
one,
up for the first one, did he?
I don't know if he did. The other
but,
one,
but Cool Jaja did.
Yeah,
Cool
Jaja just like steals Kona's like thing, which like doesn't seem like it should count to me. I do wonder. Like, okay, I assume
I made a face just now. Like, yes, I agree.
I assume we're not just going to do all 7 of these straight through, and then that resolves it. Like, that's never how they do these plots. I am curious as they keep going with these, how they keep justifying all 4 of these cast members continuing to successfully pull these off.
Let's take some time to talk about the Pelu Pelu garbage. Fucking just the trading thing, right?
Yeah.
This is annoying. And here's what's annoying about it is another maybe thing. I was like, this could have been a fun little market mini game where actually we do have to work with, there could have been quests where like,
sure,
oh, we have to actually have to buy and sell things.
There's no
that
input.
Are interesting. There's no actual input. We're really just following a line, and then they have a bespoke excellent trade.
I love
graphic.
The excellent trade screen.
Like, I was like, okay, well, they had to put this here because they recognized this shit was so stupid and boring.
I love the excellent trade screen.
I think it's on purpose a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, yeah, apart from it being table setting, it's sort of to I was willing to let it just sort of be the either the trolley or the child chapter of Shadowbringers.
I mean,
the trolley child stuff. Like, okay, surely something interesting is going to happen in the next couple of chapters. Maybe.
The point is to get Wuklamat to that scene at the end where she's like, man, yeah. She's actually clearly learning a lot from this.
Yeah, leadership isn't just about telling people what to do and having mm-hmm. the right idea. It's about understanding and having a working relationship with the groups, with individuals in your groups of people that you're watching over, but also with the groups themselves and having an understanding of how they tend to operate so that you can make better informed decisions.
Yes.
It's an interesting start that is not fun to play for me, but I push through it because I know how this game goes. Like, whatever. Like, I will give my honest opinion about it, but I'm not going to say that Dawn Trail is bad because of that first chapter. Like, you wanted me to. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I just thought it'd be a funny bit. First boss in that dungeon is a giant manatee.
Oh, yeah.
I felt a little weird about that.
That dungeon was fun. Surely there's plenty of it. Yeah. Like,
I'm sure there will be because I'm going to fight a whole lot more of them when I rerun it every.
For leveling roulette and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been not doing roulettes at all. I don't like the roulette system for leveling up. I understand that it helps get people through things. So I'm like, keep it in. Don't just take it out. But for me, I'm just doing front lines and like that. And then I was like, I'm just going to level Viper to 100 and not worry about the rest for a while.
Last topic I want to touch on here.
Yeah.
Music.
Oh, exceptional. Except...
Well, I get a couple exceptions.
Yeah, go for it.
One, I don't know that I love the new boss music. It feels like it's a step down from Shadowbringers and Endwalker to me.
I think so, too.
It's just a little generic, kind of just like a little basic fantasy orchestration. But I loved the actual music in that dungeon. Like, it kept me going forward. It felt kind of like propulsive and stuff.
The zone musics are great. I'm skipping ahead, but like you have a lot of really good zone music to look forward to. What's your other exception?
What's the name of the main city again?
Tuliolol.
What's up with the music in Tuliolol? Why is it big band jazz?
Yeah, I think it's the wrong kind of jazz for it,
really,
it should be as well. And I don't think we're alone in this criticism. I think a lot of people really... It's going to be a polarizing choice. I'm glad they're making choices and they're trying things.
But this direction
is a little weird for me because it is... This Tuliolol is very clearly a central and southern, you know, American indigenous inspired sort of
Mayan
Incan. Yeah. This sort of generic, like it's a melange of mm-hmm. indigenous tribes, which no, we probably shouldn't do to begin with.
At least they're doing like a coalition nation type thing.
Yeah, it's a coalition nation where Tuliolol is sort of, I think, leaning Mexico,
mm-hmm.
if I had to guess. Because obviously Eorzea at this point, you look at the map, it's starting to look like our world map.
Oh yeah, no, but I saw when they did the big map, I was like, oh, huh.
Yeah.
I never noticed how much like all this is like Europe and Africa, huh?
Yeah, and Marisidia is going to be Australia once mm-hmm. we get there, the southern continent. What I love about this map is that Europe is just underwater. That's so funny.
Boy, I don't know that I want this game to try and tackle Australia from a cultural perspective.
That totally feels fraught.
It's
just an island of dragons.
I guess so. Okay.
It's where all the big dragons are, like the big spiders, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we'll cross that expansion when we come to it. That's kind of the mentality I had with the New World. I was like, oh boy, here we mm-hmm. go. But first zone, I think it's actually done. I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't noticed anything abhorrently, you know, upsetting apart from just the general look of that Hanu Hanu's face when she smiled.
The
that
general
awful.
Sort of it's got the general sort of like fantasy pastiche problem, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are things that people are gonna like
I don't
you said
know.
Like
yeah.
you know the garb for the like that stuff is
there's,
just
yeah the Wakali tribe is like they shouldn't, I don't know if they should be wearing that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not a foremost expert. I'm not trying to hunt and peck for these kinds of things. I'm really curious to see, especially for our predictions. You have that one prediction where one of the dungeon set, was it specific, like one of the gear sets or outfits is
something
gonna be,
will like,
gonna be mm-hmm. cause a controversy. We'll see if that happens over the course of the month. It will probably be a pretty
if it happens, it'll happen.
It'll appear to us in our algorithm if it does, for sure, at this point. But we have a lot of Dawn Trail left to cover. The verdict is out on whether or not it's good or bad. but it certainly is, I think comparing pretty favorably to Stormblood in terms of a hero's journey.
I would say so.
In terms of inciting events, not so much yet. it's a little bit lacking in terms of inciting events for me in the first chapter.
I will say, like, I'm enjoying this more than I expected to, I think is the main thing.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know what I expected in terms of level enjoyment. I guess I was just coming in cautiously, so maybe I was expecting, maybe I had low expectations and I didn't realize it as well, but hey, it's the video game that we're playing. I press the one and then the two and then the thing. But
I like some of the class rework stuff, like the
yes, astrologian rework, very good.
I haven't touched that yet. Like, just simple changes, like the adjustment to how manification works for red mages, mm-hmm. is like interesting. It makes me feel like my DPS is higher, even if I don't know.
Yeah. And of course, just the zones themselves and the graphical update. That's stellar.
Oh, it looks great. This game looks really good.
Really, really good. So I think so far we're having a good time with the game Dawn Trail. I'm less so in this first chapter, but we will cover probably the next two chapters.
I was gonna say, how many chapters
six.
Are there?
It's
six total?
It's the same. They don't.
We will see how fast I can get through all of those.
Well, we're gonna do our, we got a month to,
I got a month, yep.
to get through this game. Hopefully it shouldn't be too, but it might be. I don't know your life. I mean, I know a little bit of your life.
It might be like one next episode and then three after that or something. We'll see.
We'll see if you want to, if you can. Maybe it's so gripping you can't put it down. Who knows?
I'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out. It doesn't have to be even Steven. But we will continue talking about Dawn Trail for the rest of our summer vacation month. Next week, we are talking about A Short Hike, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Looking forward to this game. Would like to enjoy a game thoroughly for an episode now.
Hey, you know, I'll be going into that coming off of a vacation this weekend where I'm going hiking, so I'll be able to do a direct compare and contrast.
This is very realistic hiking. we'll talk about A Short Hike and more Dawn Trail next week. We really appreciate you guys listening to a couple of idiots ramble on about a couple of video games. Thank you so much for listening and supporting us. We really appreciate it if you dropped your reviews and comments on the Apple or the Spotify, or God, that's so millennial, the Apple or the Spotify. Ick. I'm so chuggy and I'm so 35.
I'm going to go over to the Aldi after this and get some groceries.
But yeah, you don't have to give us any money to support us. Just keep listening and keep enjoying us. If you want to join our Discord, you know where it is. The links are in the description of the episode. Alongside those timestamps, Jerome. Now. You got to put them in now. You've finished editing. Put them in. Write them down.
The people want to only listen to either Bugsnax or Final Fantasy and skip the other bit.
I'll give them that. But yeah, until, you know, next week where we talk more stuff, do more fun stuff with Stormbuds. I'm so tired, but I can't sleep because it's like 4-5 in the afternoon. I'm going to have terrible digestive problems if I take a nap at this time.
Yeah, but won't other parts of you feel better?
No. I'll be like, oh, that's the noise I make when I get up from a nap and it's like a bad nap.
Okay, just go drink
some. I just got to go. I'm going to maybe go for a walk, get some Chinese food. I've been your host of Light, Jerome Robotsis, and I'm joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hemblock. Hemblock, say goodbye. Just please get... You
bye.
Say bye. Help! You're a reporter. And you're reporting... you're kind of in trouble, plot-wise. Here's what's happening, okay? Let me peel back the curtain, all right? I didn't get very much sleep last night. So I'm trying to pull threads, and then those threads have nothing in the spool.
Would you like me to talk about Bugsnax?
No, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to try it. This is my job. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try to talk in a coherent sentence.
If this is our job, we're in financial trouble.
This is our fallback in case we lose our jobs.
I really hope not.
We're going to have to make 3 podcasts and try to be full-time podcasters. Oh, let me try again.
That'll go at the end.
Bugsnax is an adventure video game developed by...